Your best time. Cycle Tour podcast is brought to you by Dis-Chem. Choose safe supplements.
Thank you for downloading your best time podcast. In this series, we bring three guinea pigs into our pedal stroke laboratory and ask them about their goals for the Cape Town Cycle Tour. We ask cycling scientist Ben Capostagno to analyze their training plans and reveal if they are on the right track. Today's guinea pig is Wade, a second-year student at UCT who is going for the magical sub-3 mark. A sub-3 is the holy grail of road riding. Wade, who missed the mark by just a minute in 2014, is determined to be part of the 1% of the field who go under 3 hours this year.
Ben, today's case study is a different animal altogether. He's a racing snake. His name is Wade. He's 20 years old. He's very hungry and he wants to go for a sub-3.
Okay.
He came very close last year, getting a 3:01, and it was his first Argus.
Okay.
Pretty much when I realized that I'd lost it is when we were going up the top of Smitsfunkel. And I was in D batch, and there were about 5 or 6 guys that made a small break at the top.
Just before we get to Wade, you've spoken in the previous podcasts about how important it is to start with a good seeding,
yes,
or how good seeding will help your race. He started in D batch last year, and some people in D batch did make it, but some people didn't.
Yeah.
And he was in the group that didn't. How important is the seeding if you're going for a sub-3? Can you get it anywhere, or do you have to be in
I think it's critical. I mean, the one benefit for road cycling is obviously the ability to draft one another, where you can ride in a bunch and you save a lot of energy. Wade was incredibly unlucky last year. I would have expected him, being in D-batch, without any major sort of mechanicals or any issues, to break 3 hours. Obviously, he came almost agonizingly close. So definitely seeding plays a big role. If you're riding with, if you're in a higher sort of seed, there's a good chance you're riding with a little bit more competent riders, a little bit more experience probably in terms of road racing. The group will do a lot of work and you'll save a lot of energy with them doing so much work.
They carried on right through all the way to town and got 2:59. And unfortunately, I was a bit further down in the pack and I got 3:01. So I think that the main part is to try and stay with the guys in front all the way to the top of Segerborsi to go.
So when you crossed the line, did you know that you were over 3 hours?
I was very unsure because on my Garmin it said 3 hours 30 seconds, but then I knew that I started. I wasn't sure where they start the actual timing from.
So there was a chance you could have sneaked in.
Yes. I mean, I was like hoping. Then I found out a few hours later.
Yeah.
They got 3:01. So.
Ouch.
I was a bit bummed about it, but I was like, well, it's 1st August, I guess there's room to improve then.
Yeah. So what have you done to make sure of a sub-3 this year?
Well, the August was my first proper road race that I've actually done. So in this past year, I've done a lot more racing on the road to learn how to handle myself in a group, to try and save energy while you're in the group. So instead of sitting on the far side of it or at the back or even right up front, it's best to stay in the middle, but in the top 15% of the group, because if you're at the back then it surges and stuff like that, so it's obviously much better to stay up front.
Is that your experience as well, to stay up front?
Yeah, I think definitely my advice would be to try and stay sort of towards the front, maybe not necessarily on the front the whole time where you're expending a lot of energy. Wade comes with a lot more experience now to this year's Argus or Cape Town Cycle Tour, because basically last year was his first one, and since then he's done so much more racing. So I think in terms of riding in a bunch, he's a lot more experienced now, and has obviously worked out sort of where he needs to position himself for sort of the best performance.
Any particular training that you've
been doing? I try and do long rides on the weekends, so around 4 hours on the weekends, and then during the week I do an hour and a half of hard stuff where you just go hard for like a few minutes and then take a rest break and then hard again for a few minutes. I would normally do about 5 or 6 of those. And then the weekends, I'll just long, easy rides. No no hard stuff on those long rides, so your legs can get used to just turning over the pedals.
What do you think? Does he have the right approach?
Yeah, not a bad sort of idea. It's a fairly sort of generic one, and it's one we see sort of fairly often, sort of as coaches when you analyze training logs. And it's a sort of protocol or program that'll work for a while, and then after a while, Wade will probably notice that his performance starts to almost like stagnate or plateau, where he's training, but he's not getting any better. It's because, like, although there's a little bit of structure there in terms of the weekly setup, like the overall plan might need to be varied a little bit more. So he's definitely got some quality work in there. As you mentioned, you know, where he was doing some sort of high intensity sessions and then the long easy rides on the weekend. My recommendation to Wade would be to make maybe one of those sort of high intensity sessions during the week and then another one maybe on the weekend, preferably on the Saturday, and then a long ride on Sunday, just to make sure that he's sort of ticking all his bases. But in terms of Wade going forward, maybe after the cycle tour, is to look at sort of developing a periodized training program, which has different phases, and each of those phases has a specific goal and focuses on those goals, and you're not trying to develop too many sort of performance variables at once.
It seems that a lot of science is going into coaching and training programs. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, that's one benefit of sort of being an exercise physiologist, is you generally get exposed to a lot more sort of the science behind training, and the way professional sport has gone recently, it's just driven a lot of the research, which is great. So,
but that's also filtering down into the amateurs, am I?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And it's not so much you know, like, just because the elites train this way, we must train this way. Obviously, the training loads will be less, but you know, in terms of structuring everything, there's definitely sort of a reason to follow their protocol.
So, what is a typical training week?
I would normally do about 10 hours as a good week for me. So,
in terms of hours, is that enough?
10 yeah, hours? I definitely think so. I mean, you know, it's not an awful amount of training. Generally, you know, with our training programs as well, depending on the level of rider, we try not to go too much further than maybe 16 to 18 hours, and that's generally during what we call their base phase, where the goal is to increase aerobic conditioning. So all those sessions are done at pretty much a very low intensity. And the reason for that is because the volume's so high, we don't want to sort of introduce an intensity that's too high. And then as we get closer to an event and we bring in the intensity a little bit more, the training volume tends to drop. So for someone like Wade, you know, if he's doing sort of two quality high intensity sessions a week, one long ride, you know, and the other two are sort of shortish rides during the week, he'll probably sit comfortably around 10 to 12 hours and definitely good enough to sort of maintain his performance.
So on a Monday, I would normally go run. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I would go and do hill repeats, up and down pretty much anywhere I can find a nice hill to do them on. Wednesday is just an easy ride and maybe just go just play around. Friday, probably about 2 hours or I'll take a rest day on that day. And then on Saturday and Sunday, I'll try and do about 3 to 4 hours, obviously depending on what I have to do on that day. But yeah, around 3 to 4 hours and just go and try and ride the route, the cycle tour route.
So what is your plan in terms of this year's cycle tour?
I want to get around 250.
250 is quite a phenomenal time.
Yeah, it's a good
time. How close do you think he will get to
yeah,
that?
Again, it's a lot of it will come down to sort of race day and what the bunch do. You know, if he's in a bunch or a group with sort of extremely motivated guys, I definitely think he can achieve that, or we can get close to 250. Obviously, Wade's now trying to knock off 11 minutes from sort of his previous cycle tour performance, so not impossible considering that was his first go. And he comes now armed with a lot more experience, and is probably in better shape now than he was then.
Well under 3 hours, yes. Well, I'm planning to start in A group, which hopefully they'll also get around that time. I have trained quite a lot. I'm a lot further than I was last year. And yeah, and I've got a lot more experience in riding on the road, so I know how to save energy and stay at the front of the group and things like that. But yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see you on Cycle Tour Day.
Thank you very much.
So Wade is a terrific athlete.
Yeah.
He's got everything going for him. He's young, he's ambitious. He is well on his way to a sub-3. But is a sub-3 possible for ordinary people, ordinary cycle tour riders, somebody like me, for example?
No, definitely. I mean, I know you and I have had this conversation in the past, but I think I think sub three is probably it's a nice goal to have, sort of to aim for, and I don't think it's out of reach of the majority of people, provided their training is sort of well structured. Obviously, it's you know, to get there, it requires a fair amount of work and commitment, sort of in terms of riding a bike, training correctly, you know, eating correctly. So I think if people are willing to sort of take the time, make the sacrifices and commitments they need to, a lot of people can either go under three or get closer to three than they think.
Okay, so there's hope for us.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Thanks, Ben.
Sure.
Thanks for listening to Your Best Time podcast, brought to you by Bicycling Magazine and produced by Jonathan Anser and Dan Dews.
Your Best Time Cycle Tour podcast is brought to you by Dis-Chem. Choose safe supplements.